Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account. You get amazing odds boosts every single day. We got the whole crew here with you today. Rudo, Jesse, Megan, AJ coming to you live. Doing some mailbag today. Answering listener questions. We'll get into a whole bunch of stuff on that front. Wanted to start with the DraftKings pick of the week, though. Because if you want free money, just go into the LCK bets on DraftKings and pick Genji to sweep whoever they play.
Whoever they play. It does not matter. Yeah,
literally anybody. They've got it covered. They will sweep them. So for my esports people, that's the pick of the week. If you're not an esports person, just trust me and you'll make money. It's easy money. Go jump on it. You can go over to DraftKings.
Look, nobody has ever lost money when somebody said that.
Just trust me. It's fine. Go over to DraftKings. You don't have to bet on esports if you don't want. You can bet on other sports, pretty much any sport under the sun. Some of the things on there you might not even consider sports, and you can bet on them. So check it out. Go to DraftKings. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Damn it. I tried to make it back before the thing went away.
Too slow. We got a ton of questions. We'll get into a little bit of everything. Lots of trade talk. Lots of other stuff to go through.
What? We asked for questions and everyone went to trades? I'm shocked.
Who could have seen that coming this week? I know. Unbelievable. Before we do that, though, reminder for everyone to get your Roast My Rosters in. That is tomorrow's show, so we will be pulling all of those tonight. If you want yours to be considered for the show, get it in tonight over on Cap Friendly. Make sure you put DNVR in the title so we know to look for you. We'll also bring all of ours, and you can make fun of our terrible rosters too. So,
are you guys excited? Have you guys made yours yet?
I already know what I'm going to do, even if I haven't technically made it.
Have you guys taken a look at the submissions?
I've looked at some, yeah.
Is it not the coolest thing just to open up Cap Friendly's like armchair GM thing and just see pages of you filter it into Avalanche and it's just DNVR all the way up and down, just tons and tons of DNVR. I think it's the coolest. Every year I'm like, yeah. And people who don't listen to this podcast, I always like to look for the comments where they're like, what the hell is going on with all this DNVR stuff?
Who was the guy last year in so many of them? Bat Vader or something? He was, I think, based out of Winnipeg. Is that ringing a bell?
Jets decline. That was all he would say. He would go in. That was it. I had forgotten all about him. Jets decline. That was his shtick. He spent all day on Cap Friendly just writing Jets decline.
All right, let's start off with a weird one. Do you think woolly mammoth tastes more like buffalo or elephant? Buffalo.
I also feel like buffalo, but if you ask me to explain myself, I can't.
What?
Have any of you ever had elephant to know what it even tastes like?
No.
I mean,
but how can you accurately say that it tastes more like one than the other?
Wouldn't the woolly mammoth be way closer to an elephant, though?
Right, yeah. The show's already off to a rocking start.
Look, it's a listener question show, all right? This is how it goes. All I'm saying is, like, woolly mammoth had, like, trunks, right? That's very elephant of them.
Woolly mammoth had, like, trunks, right? Make sure to get that in the timestamp.
That's our clip from the show, yeah, for sure.
Look, have you guys watched any of Netflix's new reality show, The Perfect Match?
Oh, dude. So Hannah normally loves that shit. We got halfway through the first one. She was like, I actually don't think I can take this.
It was a slow start because all they do is sit around and talk to each other. Oh, and so I couldn't do it. It has picked up a ton because they're actually doing stuff now. And so it's much easier for me to stomach. And I got to tell you, one of the characters in there started off a date that he had with, I thought Alaska was a country, so I'm not very smart.
I worked with a girl at my past job who, this isn't a lie, we all thought she was joking, trying to be funny. She thought Canada was in Australia.
No.
Bro, believe me, our entire team was like, shut up. You're obviously joking. She thought that, and that they trained real lions to make it look like their mouths were moving for the Lion King live action movie. And she thought ground beef was synthetic meat that they grew. That was why they called it ground beef, not that it was ground up. That one, I gave her a little bit more credit because I was like, I can at least see how you made that connection. The other two, the look that AJ's had on his face for the last 45 seconds were us for like a solid week. And she was like, I wish I was joking.
That person votes, everybody.
Right, dude, right.
Maybe if Australia and Canada were closer, the global series wouldn't be paused for now. I think there's a conspiracy that the league stars are afraid of kangaroos, but that's just me.
AJ, on the topic of reality shows, have you watched any of MILF Manor?
No.
Is that up there? Dude, we are four episodes into that, and it is exactly what you would think it is. For a show called MILF Manor, the first four episodes have played out exactly as you would expect. Just another reality show recommendation.
I don't know, man. I think I'm good on... once Perfect Match is done next week, I have... Drive to Survive coming out this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I want all of you to at least watch episode one of MILF Manor.
What platform is it on?
I think it's on TLC. So wherever you can get stuff from TLC. Or we can just all come over to my house. We have them on the DVR. And we'll just live stream us watching an episode.
I'm not coming to your house to watch a show called MILF Manor.
Why not? I can't think of a better place to watch a show like that.
I actually love this idea. Everybody bring an entree or an alcohol.
No, probably an alcohol. Sit this one out.
It'll be your favorite show. You'll be hooked. You'll be watching every episode every week, Rudo.
I'm a big fan.
Oh my God.
Somehow this question about woolly mammoth has turned into us talking about reality TV again.
And yeah, you know, see, we'll live stream it. It'll be a MILF Manor S1E1 watch along, and it'll be great.
Did several people send you the photo of the child holding the sign asking Nathan McKinnon for a stick in exchange for his mom's phone number? I got by several people.
No, but that's hilarious.
It's very funny.
feels related to looking somehow.
Let's talk a little bit about hockey. Our next question comes in asking, if you could take back one trade in Colorado Avalanche history, what would it be? Drury? Drury's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't think of... Maybe that, like, Mikhail Bodker one. I don't know what they gave up, though.
I think Connor Blakely and Kyle Wood.
Yeah, the Brassard one's worse than the Bodker one, I think.
I mean, most of these just aren't that damaging.
I was going to say, because I couldn't remember if they gave up a first in any of those deals that year that they made the trade for Bodker. But
I mean, Brad Stewart.
The first, I mean, who cares? It was a second round pick for a guy that just...
It's less about the value of the trade and more about the disaster that was on the ice.
Yeah, and had it, like, had Brad Stewart sunk a good team, you could make that argument, but he didn't. Those teams just weren't good enough anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. They really haven't had too many, like, disastrous deals. Honestly, they've been on the right side of... Some of the biggest deals in NHL history. Yeah. Between Lindros and Duchesne, like, they have just...
I mean, Lindros, Duchesne, Waugh, Bork, Blake.
Well, none
of those haunted them. They didn't come back, and none of those ended up close at the end of them.
Duchesne and Lindros, although I do think are, like, two of the most lopsided trades in at least NHL history, if not pro sports history.
Waugh should be up there too, because the Habs got Patrick Waugh out of it, and Montreal got nothing.
Yeah.
Johnny Boychuk for Matt Hendricks.
So the problem, a really underrated one, 100%. The problem was that they were never going to give Johnny Boychuk the opportunity that Boston did. So it's like,
they were playing Boychuk at forward
right
in his stint in the NHL.
But they just absolutely, totally, like, missed the boat on their own guy there.
Yep.
That did just kind of... We haven't talked about the Martin Kaut thing yet.
Really misleading tweet was sent out.
Well, and I think that was more just like, I laughed because it was such a classic Martin Kaut statement where I was like, that is what he said. I'm almost positive that's not exactly what he meant.
Well, and then when you read the full quote, you're like, okay, he asked for a trade 5 times over the course of 5 years, not once a year. Right, it's not like he got drafted and was like, please trade me like that.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't care much about it.
I just thought it was an interesting, it was just an interesting quote. And I guess there was a couple of the writers in San Jose who were like telling PR, like, yeah, don't coach this kid on his answers at all. Like, we love how honest he is. And I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. I think we had all talked about it. Maybe not on the show, because it was something that we weren't wanting to get in the rumor mill out there. But, like, the relationship had gone bad a while back. But, yeah, I don't know. I just thought those were interesting comments. And the way that people reacted to them, I thought were interesting.
Well, and like, when somebody requests a trade, it's crazy that people get like, hey, this guy needs a change of scenery. He needs a different opportunity, a fresh start somewhere else. Like, he's just looking out for him. He's allowed to do that, especially when you're not established early in your career and you're worried that, hey, if I continue to languish here with no role and no opportunity, I may never get it. And like, I don't have a problem with him requesting a trade 5 times. I think is a little much, but like, what's the difference? Like, what's the difference between the third one and the fifth one? Like, we know, man. Like, we get it.
I think my issue with it was the bit about the opportunity this season playing alongside two defensemen, because he played maybe 5 minutes between McDonald and McDermott. And it points to an accountability issue that followed him throughout his tenure here in Colorado that suggests perhaps this is still an issue. The accountability thing, what happened to the player that was saying, I need to play like Logan O'Connor, the player who had opportunity alongside Alex Newhook? It just felt like, have lessons not been learned here? I have long felt like the relationship between Martin Kaut and the organization is very nuanced, because I think that there are points to be made on either side. I do not think that the organization is a total innocent in this, but I also don't think Kaut is a total victim. And it just pointed to a player who still maturity-wise might not be there. And I'm glad he is getting that change of scenery, because it just sounds like that would not have worked out here moving forward, no matter what. It just was stagnant for him.
Just to back up your point here, I'd never actually looked, but his most common line mates, he spent the most time on ice with Alex Newhook, Evan Rodriguez, and then Jacob McDonald is on the list, but also JT Compher, Dryden Hunt, Ben Myers, then Curtis McDermott is on the list. So his complaint about the defenseman was absolutely like, yes, that happened, but it was not the majority of the opportunity that he got.
It's, it was misleading. It's history, and it's a very Kaut answer. Like,
yes.
I've heard of the way he's responded to things like being reassigned in the past, and it just sounds like maybe he struggled to receive criticism and messaging in a productive way that translated to tangible results, and this just feels like it corroborates that.
It's one of those things. I didn't know Martin Kaut when he was 16. I don't want to speculate, but you talk about a kid who's been playing professional hockey since he was 16, who certainly in his home country had the red carpet rolled out for him with opportunities, maybe wasn't quite ready for the adversity that the North American hockey brought.
Megan, you made such a good point. I'm sorry to cut you off. You made such a good point about the what happened to the guy saying, I need to be like Logan O'Connor. I'm willing to do anything it takes to stick, blah, blah, blah. Now it's, well, look at the guys they had me out there with, and, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's like, again, Logan O'Connor had a couple of those games too, where he was strapped with some, you know, guys that either aren't NHLers, don't normally play forward. And that dude we'd never dream about hearing Logan O'Connor get into the locker room and complaining about that. You know what I mean? And not to use him, but that was the guy that Martin Kaut drew the line to all the time of, I need to be like him. I thought it was such an interesting comment for him to make, again, because it was misleading for several reasons. AJ, to your point at the very beginning of this, 5 trades in 5 years, you can ask for 5 trades 5 times in a week. And that is still technically 5 times in the last 5 years. I did think it was interesting that he went back to management that many times to say it. We understand. I think they were probably trying to move on from him too. They tried to waive him. Now it makes a little bit more sense why they waived him so many times this year. Twice, I think. They're trying to get him what he wants. And I don't know. This has been my issue with him since he got here, that very, very first training camp when he failed, bottomed out of the conditioning portion of it. And we were willing to write that off given everything he had gone through in his draft year with the heart condition and having to take so much time off. All of us, AJ, I remember you and I talking about it, like, yeah, it's not a great look, but given the context, whatever. And I also remember us talking about 1 year later, like, ooh, I'm excited to see how Kaut looks, because now he hasn't had all this time off with a heart condition and all that. And he still almost died during the conditioning drills. Every year he has struggled clearly the most of anyone else on the ice with that. There does just seem to be a larger issue at play here. And Megan, what you were saying a minute ago of like, that statement does just feel very victim mentality, where it's like, yeah, the Avs could have done something, but don't sit here and act like you did every last thing they asked of you. And, you know, they just hated you. There's areas that they probably could have given him a little bit more, but I don't think anybody on this show would argue that Martin Kaut did everything he could to leave like no doubt you have to play him, whatever. By the end of this, even, you know, AJ, I was giving you a hard time, but even by the end, when they were setting him down, you were like, yeah, he hasn't outplayed anybody. And that was always his issue, was he couldn't beat anybody out. So that was the only reason I thought that quote was funny, where it's like, bro, come on, let's not act like you were the helpless victim here.
And to give him, sorry, subcredit, the way the organization plays a role in this too, with the waiver situation the second time, and apparently Chris McFarland not being the one to alert him of the trade, I am sympathetic to the ways in which the organization may have not played a perfect role in this too. I do think Kaut may have deserved better in both of those situations.
I don't know what the Avs are supposed to do. Jesse kind of mentioned it. You mentioned it with the waivers, Megan. They waived him twice, and he didn't get claimed. At that point, you have to go to the guy and be like, look, nobody wants you.
Right, right. Nobody wants you for free.
Yeah. Kind of. I mean, you have
to keep him on the NHL roster. I get it.
Well, and there's contract limitations, remember, because the Sharks couldn't claim him because they were at 50 contracts. Well,
and look, the Avs did right by him then. They eventually got him moved. So
did right by themselves, too.
I agree. I think the Avs won that trade. For if you're a fan of Kaut, like I know at least AJ and I do really like the guy as a hockey player.
He had a good Sharks debut.
He was a point per game guy for the Barracuda over there, and now he's on the Sharks roster. So nothing but the best for that guy. Honestly, hope he does
well. A bunch
of
nothing in 15 minutes in his debut. I guess that is good for Kaut though. He survived 15 minutes of ice time. That's a win.
Moving on. Who asked this question? I'm sorry. I can't find your name. There we go. Ryan asks, curious on your thoughts on the trades that have happened. The big ones like O'Reilly, Tarasenko to New York, and Horvat to the Islanders.
Wait, what was the first part of the question? I just heard you listing players.
Thoughts on the three big trades so far in the NHL?
Since they extended him, I like the Horvat deal. Had that been a rental, I would have thought that was a really bad move for a bubble team. But
I hate it, man. I think still, the only way that was a good deal was if they flipped him.
I thought they either need to flip him or extend him, because I thought it was weird that the Islanders were seemingly like going for it in a year where they may not even make it to the playoffs. I like that once they extended him, I like that move. I love the O'Reilly trade. That's like one of my favorite trades in the last couple of years. I just think that is such a perfect fit for what Toronto needs. He's something different from what they have. I really like that one. And then Tarasenko, I'm fine. I think it's whatever. I think New York is really good, but
we're skeptical of them being real contenders. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know if Tarasenko like moves the needle that far for me that I'm like, what a deal. O'Reilly to Toronto, I think that's an awesome deal. That's an awesome deal for everybody.
Especially because what they gave up is predominantly picks. And when you're talking about you're giving up a pick heavy deal and only one of those is a first rounder, you immediately start stacking up value there, because you're like, oh, I gave up a second and a third and a fifth, and you're like, oh no, not that. especially when you're in like a desperate, like we're trying to keep our jobs kind of situation, like they are in Toronto right now. I really don't know I don't see any downside there. Okay, yeah, you gave up a first rounder, but that first rounder wasn't going to help you keep that job.
Right.
So,
don't even know if you'd be able to make it if you use that pick if you didn't do this.
And I do think he's the perfect kind of fit for what they really just a guy that is going to just really fill in a hole that they really had. And then getting Achari on top of it, I think, is even better work. because that's a quality NHL player again that brings you a different element to that forward core that is necessary. They need that, and so I think that's a great deal for Toronto. I loved that for them. I thought it was fine for St. Louis. I didn't think it was bad business, especially if they turn around and use that first rounder and flip him for Timo Meier. I think that's great business for the Blues. But
then Toronto got 75% of the salary eaten. And to your point, AJ, like, what did you really give up for that? Like, nothing. Like, you did some gymnastics to make the money work. And
the first round pick, you're like, hey, that's valuable. Those are always valuable. Those are always important. Those are great. Everything else, you can absolutely, in the situation that they're in, you can live without all that stuff. It does not matter. You don't care about any of those things.
Yeah.
I'm so that great business, the Tarasenko deal, I thought was, again, just a good piece of, I thought it was maybe a better piece of business for the Blues to get a first round pick back for a guy that you have pretty serious question marks about, and a guy who was not like a, who was more of a goal scorer than anything else, but it also goes to show you the value of if you're a one trick pony and that's your one trick, it's pretty valuable in the NHL.
Well, and so, a guy that was guaranteed going to leave too.
Yeah, definitely. For them to get the first, and again, if they turn around and use those two first round picks that they got in those deals and turn Ryan O'Reilly and Vlad Tarasenko into Timo Meier, they have done a very, very good job of reloading their team, and they have that other third. Great. Chat asking about O'Reilly resigning. Who cares?
Yeah,
we'll see.
I can't imagine he does there purely from a money standpoint. He seems like he likes playing there.
Also, don't think he wants to be their third line center long term. But
yeah,
well, and we'll see.
Maybe he ends up being their 2C. He's certainly not their 1C, put it that way.
They're just so tight to the cap. And, like, Austin Matthews will be coming off the books when he goes to Arizona in two seasons, but they've at least got to keep money to try and re-sign him. So, yeah, I don't know.
I just think that's a who cares. The Horvat deal, I think, is good. It's a good piece of business for both teams. I think the Islanders are going to like him. He's going to fit perfectly what they needed. But you want to talk about a team that's banged up, man. They are icing a lot of their AHL roster right now. So they more need to get healthy than anything else. It's a tough time to go through all the injuries. But
see, and that's why I needed them to re-sign Horvat for me to, like, really like that deal, because that just would have felt like, had they not flipped him and not re-signed him, that would have just felt like such a punt of assets.
Oh, it would have been a huge, huge waste. And then for the Canucks, Atu Ratu is exactly the kind of guy you should be trying to rebuild around.
I love
I think he's already getting his recall up to Vancouver.
Let's go.
But you can't, Islanders couldn't have possibly predicted that Mark Barzal would also be injured, but it has aged well very immediately that Bo Horvat is now in that forward group to step up in his absence. I think Tarasenko might be one of my favorites just in terms of the business perspective, because their hands were so tied in what they were able to do. And the O'Reilly one might be my least favorite only because he has scarily acclimated so well in Toronto that it's a little bit scary. But other than that, that's what you missed.
I'm super excited to watch the Eastern Conference playoffs this year. I think all whatever the series end up being, it's going to rule. And watching, obviously, I think Toronto is appointment viewing just because of their history. That team is super good. And I understand everybody's like, oh, it's Toronto, they'll find a way. And this, like, that's what makes it fascinating. Like, they are trying to slay this demon. And if they get out of the first round and get bodied by Boston in round two, was it worth? And these are all the fun historical questions we get to ask.
The O'Reilly one for me, I just, because like you said, AJ, everyone wants to say it's Toronto. And that is true. But it feels like for the first time they have something different. Like they have some semblance of now a group that you can go head to head with, like the Marchand line, and shut them down and things like that. And it's just, it feels like a break from the norm that has seen them get bounced in the first round over and over and over again.
So
We'll see.
Would you guys say you're high on Toronto?
I would say that.
All right. Well, yes. Don't go to Toronto to get your weed. You can do it right from your couch with Jive Hive. Go over to jivehive.com, JiveHyve.com to get your order delivered. You can get it delivered ASAP, same day, or you can schedule a delivery window in the future when you want your weed to come to you. They're super fast, super easy online, especially if you're a weed smoker. I know you're lazy like me, and you don't want to go to the dispensary and actually pick that stuff up. So get it delivered to yourself instead. Jive Hive, amazing at what they do. They will bring it right to your front door. So don't make life hard on yourself. Be sure to go to jivehive.com and type in your address. Make sure they deliver to you. Obviously, you have to be 21 plus to buy weed. They will check your ID. So don't screw yourself over by not being 21 plus. Go check them out. Jivehive.com. They deliver specifically to Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County. When you schedule your window, they'll be there to say hi. Also brought to you by Bacchus and Shanker. If you've had an injury problem, whether it be through a car accident or motorcycle, ride shares, if you've been injured at work and it's not your fault, you just got to call 222-2222 to set up a consultation with Bacchus and Shanker. It costs you absolutely nothing. If they think you have a case, they'll take your case on for absolutely nothing. They don't get paid until you win. So they've got you covered top to bottom on that one for absolutely free. And they're really good at what they do. They've been doing it for 25 years, and they've won over $1 billion for their clients. So they've been around the block a few times. They know how to get the money that you deserve if you've been in an injury case. So give them a call at the 2 number or go to coloradolaw.net and have Bacchus and Shanker hook you up. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, let's get into the title topic from today. Timo Meier, why aren't the Avs in on him, first of all? At this point, his salary potentially could fit, given EJ, if he's headed to LTIR. What does cost potentially look like? We also need to talk about the potential qualifying offer poison pill at the end of that deal.
It's the $10 million qualifying offer. Mm-hmm. It's too steep. I know that the forward market generally is drying up, but just $6 million AEV on the books immediately is already a little steep, but then the $10 million qualifying offer at the end of that tunnel just doesn't seem like it will make financial sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know. I haven't even really considered Meier for the Avs. He just seems like he's kind of in a different bucket of player right now in terms of like what you would normally see around this time of year on the trade market. This really does seem like the fact that the St. Louis Blues are in on him after they just started selling off to start a rebuild should just that should kind of tell you where this player is in terms of what kind of teams are pursuing him, how teams are viewing him. I don't get the sense that there's, you know, teams out there looking to add Timo Meier, you know, for this run. If you're looking to add Timo Meier, looking to keep him long-term, add some punch to your top six. And yeah, just financially, I don't think the Avs are really in a position to be looking at a guy like that with a $10 million qualifying offer.
So what I will say is I don't know that Timo gets a qualifying offer from any team.
I don't think he does, but
at the 10 million mark. So you're really treating him as an unrestricted free agent if you're going out and getting him this year, more than an RFA. That doesn't mean they couldn't theoretically re-sign him for a number less than 10 million, but it has that uncertainty of him walking and going wherever he wants at the end of the year.
It's just not your standard RFA deal like what the Avs did last year with Lehkonen, where it's like, he'll be back. You don't know what it'll look like, but he'll be back. Meier, you don't really get that same guarantee. And he is going to cost, as if you do have that guarantee, in terms of like what it would cost of acquisition. Yeah, I don't know. He's just a little bit too complicated of a player that for, I think, a team like the Avs to be getting involved in.
I think the QO stuff is overblown a little bit because teams have that as a break glass in case of emergency in order to keep the player for the next year. Obviously, $10 million sucks. Like, you don't just want to spend that on one guy who is a wing and who may or may not be in your on your top line, depending on the team that gets him. But he's a really good player, and I think the Avs would be pretty hard up after him if he was a center and not a wing. The fact that he's a wing just makes it so that Colorado's just looking at it and is like, where does he play here?
Well, and the $10 million isn't just like, it doesn't just suck to spend. Name a contending team that can just like willy-nilly do that.
But I'd be way more willing to be talked into the $10 million if he was a center. It's really hard to give a wing $10 million.
It's really hard. And I think that he probably signs an extension for more in the high eights, low nines, for a long-term deal. And that's where it ends up. But the QO basically just means we get to keep this player. And that's really all it is. You extend the QO. Right. He doesn't even have to sign the damn thing. So, you know, you extend it to secure his rights and then figure it out from there. And so it's not as clean as Lehkonen last year, but I do think it in some ways is being overblown a little bit because no team acquiring him is doing it with the idea of he's gone at the end of the year. Anybody that picks him up will either be able to offer him that QO and then figure out a long-term deal, or They move that guy for a bunch of assets because Timo Meier is still really good. So I'm not super worried about it. It is the Avs just don't have the assets to play in those waters. Two first round picks, Sean Behrens, is that as intriguing to San Jose as two first round picks from a team where those picks are probably going to be higher, like a New Jersey or and then an Alexander Holtz, you know, type of prospect. More intriguing? I would say the other teams just have better offers.
The $10 million though, I hear what you're saying about it being overblown, but I just do think that it gives him far more leverage than your standard RFA. And I think that's what would scare a lot of teams off. And honestly, high eights, low nines, I just don't know if he's an $8 to $9 million player.
Easily.
Yeah. He's been an $8 million player the past 2 years for sure. He's a point per game guy, basically.
Given the guys who have signed $8 and $9 million deals over the last couple of years, Timo Meier's absolutely there. Especially as a UFA.
This dude's been nowhere close to a point per game player up until last year where he came just shy.
I think he's somewhere in there, but I think the reason the Avs remove themselves from that possibility is because of Valachushkin's contract. They already have that kind of money locked up in one other wing that's why I think it's not in the conversation at all.
Yep. They're especially right wing. They're very committed to that spot. A couple of questions here.
Their wings are done.
Yeah.
The Avs don't need a top six wing until Miko's deal is up. Like those are two spots that win healthy. Landeskog, Lehkonen, Nichushkin, and Rantanen. You're finished.
Yep.
Yeah. Now McKinnon's on an 8-year deal too that starts next year. Five of your top six are set. Like, you're golden. You don't mess with it. You just don't mess with it.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of questions here. First one, we get a lot. We've answered before. I'll answer it again here. Stan Kroenke, how would you rate Josh and Stan's ownership of the Avs compared to some of their other ones? Kroenke has always been great for the Colorado Avalanche. He's always been willing to spend the money, even in the terrible year. The Avs were a cap team. They've always been that owner for Colorado. They're very hands-off. They hire their GM to do the job. They don't meddle with anything. Easily, everyone who's a Colorado Avalanche fan should be happy with what the Kroenkes have done as owners.
And I'll just add real quick to this. there is always a lot of complaints about the lack of extras that Kroenke teams seem to have, like in terms of gauging with their fans. I know just from talking to people internally, the Kroenke's ownership mindset is winning brings the fans. That's what fans want, their team to win above all else. So they are always willing to invest in the product that's on the ice, field, court. You know, I lose track of how many different sports that they're involved in, but yeah, that's something that sucks to not get the little, you know, gift box if you're a season ticket holder, but know that they are always putting their money into a quality product on the ice. So I think the way that Joe and Gabe and everybody talked about them last year at the Cup Parade should tell people everything they need to know about how the organization feels about working for KSC.
Well, and they spend money on things, you know, they've spent a ton of money. Now they own Ball Arena, like that's their property. So them investing in it makes perfect sense. But they've spent a ton of money to try and keep Ball Arena updated. You know, that, mm-hmm. that gigantic jumbotron that they put in was state of the art, first of its kind when it was installed. Now everybody's mm-hmm. trying to copy that. They ripped out all the seats. They've redone all of that. They added Club Lexus. Now, you know, they've made some of the higher end perks for not the everyman a lot nicer over the years, but you do need those things. You want those luxury things. The only thing that they've really been remiss on that they've just not done a good job. It's a practice facility. And we know that. We understand, and you know what they're doing. They have a long term. They are invested in a 40-year redevelopment of downtown Denver that includes a practice facility, a brand new state of the art facility for both the Avs and Nuggets. And they're not building one in the meantime to just build one for funsies, because that's not how rich people operate. So we just have to deal with this. We just have to wait for this. And that's really the number one thing that we're sitting around waiting on, is this redevelopment plan of downtown Denver that includes a state-of-the-art practice facility in the heart of the city, right down there where they can sell the ice and make money doing that, and not just have it be just for the Nuggets and Avs and all that. You know, they're going to make something that makes money as well. And in the meantime, FSC, I imagine the rent there is probably pretty cheap, and that's the appeal, and everybody, it's well known, but hey, yeah, yeah, I mean, they've invested in the organization over and over and over and over. I mean, they sign checks and they stay out of the way, and I can understand that there are plenty of gripes to be had with other things, but for the number one thing that you want an ownership group to do, not be the Munfords.
So a couple things, just what you're talking about. One, they're still heavily remodeling Ball Arena currently. Walking around in the underbelly of that arena right now is an adventure, a different adventure every single day, because there's different things closed off and this is being redone. One, they completely redid the team store this summer, 2.5 times its size as it used to be. Looks really nice, all that stuff. They're actually adding a new lounge downstairs. It's going to be a gambling lounge. I think it's PointsBet who's putting it on with them. So they're continuing to convert stuff like that to do more fan-focused things. And then I just wanted to mention the Nuggets' current practice facility. Well, my understanding is that now it is pretty out of date and pretty small.
There were a bunch of leaks in it yesterday.
Yeah. At the time when they built that, to AJ's point, like about the big board, when they put that facility in Ball Arena, that was state of the art, first of its kind. No other teams had that, where they had a full practice facility inside of their game arena. So like it doesn't always feel super apparent, but yeah, the Kroenkes pour a lot of money into their franchises, even though, like I said, the fan bases maybe don't get all the frills that some of the other ones do.
And like, let's be real, the television dispute is still an ongoing thing that they are absolutely involved in, and not the victims of big bad Comcast.
Yep.
I understand KSE employees have to say that shit, but give me a fucking break with this. Yeah. Okay. They are a willing participant in this dogfight. This is so obnoxious, the way that this thing has turned out. So we've been very positive about their overall ownership of the Avalanche. It is not perfect.
Big miss for the altitude stuff.
It is absolutely not perfect.
I was talking with someone about that today, and the four of us have talked about a lot of this stuff, you know, off air, and we're still not going to get too far into it. But yeah, definitely not absolved of blame is KSE.
Absolutely.
We'll leave it at that.
All right. Breaking news. Shea Weber is now an Arizona Coyotes legend. Vegas just picked up Dyson Mayo from the Coyotes for a fifth in Shea Weber's contract. So that's a thing that happened.
So they're loading up on even more?
Yeah.
LTIR space? But Mark Stone's 9.5 wasn't enough?
I guess.
All right.
Anyway, next question. I'm not going to try to pronounce your name. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry. Should the Avs just stand pat at the trade deadline, given the weakness of the West and their odds to win the West are already quite high? Does getting your odds at the Cup final up just a little bit, is it even worth it, given the Avs' quote-unquote acquisitions, like Gabe Landeskog getting healthy, coming back?
Is it worth it to make a deal?
He's asking, should the Avs stand pat? And I'm assuming all of our answers are no to that question.
Yeah, no. But
don't think we'd have made a bunch of trade deadline videos if we thought the Avs were going to stand pat. Speaking of which, Sean Monahan's video coming out in a couple hours today. So keep your eyes peeled for that on YouTube. If you haven't already watched the Puljujarvi and Luke Shen videos, those are out already. So you can go find those.
Megan, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I think they still should do something. It honestly makes me think of the Tyson Jost Nico Sturm. Like, it feels maybe like a lateral move at times, but you can't really say if that hadn't happened, what the outcome would have been. It just feels like even if it's something small like that, depth defenseman, they just have to do something. They have the ability to do it. And given the uncertainty of Cale Makar's health and Eric Johnson's injury status, they just absolutely need to, at minimum, pursue a defenseman.
They went on one of the most dominant runs in playoff history because of their depth. I agree with you, Megan. At bare minimum, they're still bolstering that can and needs to be done to this roster, even with all of the guys coming back. Yeah. If they stood pat, I wouldn't be bothered by that, I guess, but I would find that as an odd move given the situation they're in.
I'd be bothered by standing pat because the West sucks this year, and if the Avs, even if it's just the, because I think Megan's right, just the depth defenseman, you're looking at it and saying that has to get addressed at some point.
Yeah, yeah,
something has to happen there. But I mean, another middle six forward is also screaming at you. You need that guy. You need one more guy, I think, in it on one, both forward and defense. I think you just need, they've needed one more guy at forward all year long. And Gabe Landeskog's not that, because I'm saying they need one more guy with Gabe Landeskog healthy.
Yeah.
And I think
Gabe Landeskog plus one.
I just think that is, and I'm not trying to swing for the fences here. You know, I'm not like go and get whatever star player, you know, Timo Meier, for example. I'm not like, hey, break it all down for that guy. I think there are a lot of interesting names out there that could fit, that could work out, that I'd be interested in. But I just think that you can't stand pat with the West being what it is. If you think that you can get better, this is your last chance to get better when the West just sucks like this. It sucks. The West is not good.
They're bad.
It's not good.
Do you know another situation where you shouldn't stand pat?
Oh, God.
I'm not going to participate.
I'm scared.
Do not. stand pat in the bedroom, all right? Make sure when you're going into the bedroom, you're ready. In fact, Roman ready. So
I was wondering when this ad read was going to make its way to our show. I was scared.
It's been on a couple times while you were away. So Roman is here to help, though, genuinely, whether it be for ED or if you want to last longer in bed or if you just want to be healthy down below the waist as a male. Roman can take care of you. It's a very common thing. Up to 50% of men have symptoms that get in the way of wanting to have or enjoying sex. So something you want to make sure you're keeping eyes on and checking up on, and not standing pat, but getting your pat to stand, if you know what I'm saying. Jump on it. They have something for everything top to bottom. They offer discreet wipes that make you last four times longer. If you have low T, you can get your testosterone levels back to normal with Roman, which helps your libido. They offer a testosterone test so you can see exactly where you stand and get treatment for low testosterone from them. There's no waiting rooms. There's no hassle. It's super straightforward digital experience from the comfort of your own home. So it's super easy to do. They get free 2-day shipping on everything that arrives in discreet packaging. Again, to make sure you're completely taking care of yourself, you can go to their website, ro.co/DNVR today, and take their questionnaire to check on yourself. They'll look through it. They'll contact you. Make sure everything is looking good and looking right. They also do ongoing care. They just want to make sure you're healthy. That's about it on this one. Go check them out. Roman at ro.co/DNBR to order today. And of course, you get free shipping to make sure you've got a strong erection. Also brought to you by the amazing people over at American Raptors. You can go down to Infinity Park in Glendale today. You can watch American Raptors games for exactly $0. Even if you're not going to a Raptors game, Infinity Park is a great place to go check out just for a day on the town. Maybe not today because the snow came out of nowhere, but the last couple of days is almost in the 60s. Beautiful days to go check out Infinity Park. For the rugby side of it, they have the best rugby in the world there. The men's and women's US 15 teams practice there, so there's that. And then the Raptors are a team of athletes that come from all other sports that have been now trained in rugby to see how far they can go in the league play. So go check that out. Follow the DNVR rugby account on Twitter. Colton Strickler, our guy, has 101 podcasts to teach everyone the game so you can learn what's going on. And if you're a diehard fan, he has tons and tons of interviews and access to all of the rugby stuff you could possibly imagine. So check them out. Go to AmericanRaptors.com today. You can also stream the Raptors games online for free through AmericanRaptors.com. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Also breaking news, goalie goal in the SHL.
Let's go.
Swedish top pro league. Goalie goal.
Here for
That's
it.
That's incredible.
I retweeted it if you want to go find it. We need more goalie goals.
We do need more goalie goals.
Honestly, like, NHL rule change. If it's an empty net, only the goalie can shoot from now on. Like, that's what I'm here for. A couple more specific questions. How would Ville Heinola fit with the Avs?
So well. I don't understand why the Jets continue to play Logan Stanley over him, because Logan Stanley is awful. I understand he's really, really big, but he's also terrible. So Ville Heinola, though, I think the style of play, the way that he succeeds, where he's most successful, skating pucks out, transition, not the most physical of defenders, it's tailor-made to be an Avs defenseman. If the Jets decide to give up on that guy at some point, he would be a perfect fit in Colorado. And it's just one of those examples of where the Jets continue to misunderstand where modern hockey is going. And they've got this guy that is frustrated. They've kind of yo-yoed him around. And now two different coaching staffs don't want to do it because they're stuck with this old school Logan Stanley, big tough guy. Me block shot, me good. Like this Neanderthal vision of what defense should be. And it's why they are not going to go deep in the postseason, because their defense sucks. And they continue to value the wrong things, given the way that their roster is constructed. They continue to waste a Hall of Fame goaltender in Connor Hellebuck because they missed the mark on guys like Ville Heinola over and over and over.
And you know that Mikko Rantanen would already love him because he is Finnish. I genuinely think, though, he has good poise with the puck and good vision. So size isn't an issue, and he's not super small. I like a lot of aspects of him.
Next one comes from Mike. Provided Landeskog is healthy, if the Avs bring in a winger, can Landy be a full-time 2C?
No. I mean, he could, but...
They go get Nino Niederreiter. Give it a whirl. Do it.
I have been saying, though, and I think I even said it on yesterday's show, I do really think that if you can't get a center between Compher, Rodriguez, Rantanen, and Landeskog, you got enough guys there. Yeah. You can spot duty this like pretty confidently.
Yep, I agree. All right, what's next? What is the best video game system? And the answer is PC.
Is that current or is that like all time?
It is all time.
Really?
I actually just got it in the mail today.
Did you get a Steam Deck? Oh my god, that's nice. I want one. I'm jealous.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
It's a Steam Deck. So when Rudo has the correct answer of saying PC, this is now PC on the go.
So I was going to ask if that's what that was.
Yep. It's basically a Nintendo Switch, except for it's
played PC games.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't even have like a, there isn't like a nostalgic piece where you're like, yeah, obviously it's not as good as this, but like this is the best gaming system ever.
It's easily the Nintendo 64. Yeah. That's what I grew up on.
Okay.
And
right. 64, right.
Not close for the actual systems.
Yeah.
Preach. Super Nintendo probably has a better library of games, but N64?
I don't know about that. Megan, what were you saying?
Have you guys heard of Dream Life?
Yes, actually.
Owns. Did you ever play?
I've watched people play on YouTube on what are now dead servers.
Just think it should be in the running somewhere.
Right next to the 3DO.
How did you guys hold the N64 controller? Did you go correctly all the way outside or one no, outside,
you
one hold, on the
you
middle
held
finger?
The middle thing.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure. I don't you know. I've seen to. A couple people grab it like this with big freakish hands.
How?
Big freakish hands.
So
on the Rocky show today, we talked about Tamagotchis because one of the guys at training camp
posted a picture
of his Tamagotchi. And so we were all like, I'm not sure who remembers these.
I actually got my sister a Tamagotchi for Christmas last year.
Should have got her a Dream Life.
Should have gotten her Dream Life.
Yeah.
My sister is older than me, by the way, in her mid-30s. And like, she's like, oh my gosh, how cool. Halfway through the day, she's like, yo, this is like way too much work to like actually actively pay attention to this thing. Tamagotchis, man.
It was awesome. Chat, do you have any...
Christian talked about webkins. Sorry.
About what?
A little delayed. Webkins. I don't know if Megan might remember these, but they were like these cute little like stuffed animals that had like these codes. And you could play with them online. So you'd like build them little houses. It was almost like Club Penguin, but you actually got a stuffed animal that came.
Sounds like it. A bad Neopets.
I was more on the Neopets train.
Yeah.
I knew of Webkinz though.
Neopets was where it at. Any questions from the live chat? If you want, start throwing them in chat now. We do have one super chat here.
Yo, Club Penguin is classic.
$5 from our Moisters, who says, just joined. We got the whole crew. Megan, Jesse, Moe's Schroot, and Emperor Palpatine.
Moe's, nice. Holy shit. That's hilarious. Damn. Oh my God.
Many, 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 many people have made this comparison, and it is still spot on.
Take it where you can get it, I guess.
Funny. Holy shit. I would have never made that connection had that super chat not come in. That is one of the funniest things I've seen all year.
People want to know if AJ's told the roommate story. He told an abridged version of it on a show, and I'm not going to tell you which one.
I know which one.
I would hope.
I remember. It wasn't an actual pod. It was just a watch along.
But you guys were talking about Club Penguin and all that stuff. Do you guys see, like, 2 months ago, addictinggames.com, like, officially shut down? It's, like, not – the domain isn't even there anymore. That was a sad moment.
That is really sad.
It is very, very sad. Troy asked thoughts on Miko, on Jesse. I'm assuming you mean Puljujarvi. We did a whole video on Puljujarvi out there. Go watch it if you want our thoughts on him.
Any thoughts on Miko's thoughts on me?
Yeah.
Jesse?
No, I mean, Miko loves Finns.
Yeah.
Yep.
What was he going to say in that? Oh, I don't think he'll be a good fit here.
And I do think they are, like, good friends. So
yeah.
Do you ever get to influence a trade or text a scout to throw out a player name out there that you would want? Well, we're well aware that the Avs are diehard listeners of our podcast. So.
Joe Sakic, long time listener. Long time. Big fan of the pod.
This one probably more for Megan. What prospect from another team would you like to see in an Avs/Eagles jersey?
Are there any limitations? Do they have to give anything up?
I'm adding a limitation of no DU players.
Perfect. Dustin Wolf.
There you go.
Oh. I was going to say Ville Heinola. Dustin Wolf is so much of is such a better answer.
I like it all.
Justin Barron.
I just looked at a Roast My Roster that was submitted, and first of all, I'm not the first person who wanted to bring Troy Terry to the Avs somehow, but someone was also going to bring back Drew Helison, so...
I saw that one, too. Yeah.
I haven't looked yet. Was the Troy Terry one Jake? Was it anime?
I don't think it was. I think the username had, a Drew in the name. I could be looking at the wrong one, but... I'll have to think of a new trade idea then.
Should be fun. I already know what I'm going to do for my roster roast. We'll see what everyone else ends up doing.
Do not know what I want to do yet. I am still... I'm still hemming and hawing. I'm trying to decide, do I want to do something wild like I always do and very out of left field, or do I just want to do what I want to do?
Player trades.
Like, is this just like, if I had Chris McFarland's job, here are the decisions that I would make, and like, to hell with everybody else.
We'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Have like angel on shoulder, devil on shoulder. Chris McFarland cosplay.
I am here for it. That's my Halloween costume this year, confirmed. Yeah, straight up. Okay, we're gonna get out of here for the day. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us for a fun one. Roast My Roster tomorrow. Again, be sure to get those in on Cap Friendly. Use the Armchair GM tool. Put DNVR in the name of your roster when you post it. We'll be going through a bunch of those tomorrow and our own ones, so you can make fun of us as well. And then Friday, the Avs are back in action. So we got you fully covered there. The trade videos continue coming out through the next week or so leading up to the deadline. So check those out here on YouTube as well. Like, subscribe. Also, don't tell anybody, but we're like 60 people away from 20K followers on Twitter. If you want to help us out and give us a follow over there, that'd be pretty cool. It's been rumored that some people might shotgun beers if we hit 20K followers. I'm just saying. I'm not going to name names, but.
Why? That's the Broncos thing. We have to name our own names. Thing.
All right, we can do shots of Jaeger then.
AJ, okay. You missed Camille Hammer.
I saw that it was Hammer time at the bar that night, and I meant to text you and be like, what the?
She'll be back. She'll be back.
I was so bummed. I was like, I missed all the good stuff.
On that note, we're out of here, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.